Municipal governments are budgeting for 2021 and beyond, and that means tough trade-offs and financial pressures like never before. We're looking at what the budget process may be like for cities, towns, and villages here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The National League of Cities surveyed about 900 city governments last month. More than two-thirds said their financial health has been negatively affected by COVID, and if Congress doesn't pass another stimulus, they'll continue to face dire economic conditions. How is your municipality's budget outlook? What services will be cut? It's 800-642-1234. Kurt Witinski is Deputy Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Kurt, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you.
So earlier this year, the league predicted that cities, towns, and villages would lose about $400 million in revenue due to the pandemic. Where do things stand now?
Well, things didn't turn out as dire as we had thought in those early months of the pandemic. There are a variety of reasons for that. First, expenditures were not quite the expenditures on dealing with the pandemic weren't as great as we had thought. And then federal government's CARES Act dollars that came to the state of Wisconsin and then that were distributed to municipalities helped out substantially. Now, on the revenue side, there were communities, I would say, that were more dependent on room tax dollars, which is basically a sales tax on staying in a hotel. Those communities were hit a little harder, like, for instance, City of Madison, that was dependent on hosting business conferences and other things downtown. Those business conferences didn't happen.
Yeah.
Hotels weren't filled, and their revenue was definitely hit as a result. But not all communities around the state, and you know, there's a great variety and great sizes of different communities around the state were affected in the same way. So it didn't end up being as dire as we thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, that's one funding pot there with those hotel tax dollars. But, you know, can you kind of break down the main sources of revenue that local governments have to rely on?
Sure. So local governments in Wisconsin, and I'm talking about cities and villages and towns for the most part. We represent cities and villages. Counties are a little bit different. Cities and villages rely on property taxes and state aids and then some minor sources of revenue like fees or, basically that's the breakdown. Property taxes, state aids like shared revenue, and smaller collections of fees and other things.
Where do the bulk of local government revenues go? Is there one expenditure that is by far bigger than other areas?
Public safety is by far the largest component of a municipality's budget, so that would include police for the most part and fire departments. Anywhere from 40 to 60%, depending on the municipality, is of a community's budget is police and fire. And then public works is probably second.
Contact tracing has been huge in the pandemic. Do you see in your crystal ball that public health will emerge as a much larger spending piece in the future?
I think hopefully we're all kind of hopeful about this pandemic coming to a slow end in 2021. So I think we're through the worst of the unanticipated extra spending on public health, hopefully. And counties took the bulk of that because counties have health departments for the most part. There's only about 16 to 20 cities and mainly cities around the state that have their own health departments. But certainly we provide police and fire and EMT services, and those all were used to a greater extent than previously because of the pandemic. But we're hopeful that 2021 will be actually less expenditures in those areas than we had in 2020.
Well, let me ask you this. How much do cities and towns depend on the next federal stimulus passing? I mean, what is the trickle down you see there of federal funds?
Yeah. So we are very hopeful that the feds will come through with this fourth stimulus package that they've been negotiating, it seems like, for the last 3 months. And they might actually come up with something in the next week. Here's why we are hopeful that and we need it to come through is because long term, the revenue side of state, the revenue side of city government is dependent on state government. And if state government's sales tax and income tax revenues and other sources of revenue are down in the next couple of years, which it, you know, could very well be the case. And it seems to already be the case as we're seeing that the state has a very challenging budget coming up. We're worried that the state, in order to make its budget work, will reduce funding in state aid programs that go to municipalities. And the federal dollars are critical to maybe making that less likely to happen if the state can get some money from the feds. And if some of that money also trickles down to cities and villages and replaces some of the lost revenue, like on room taxes and stuff like that, that'll be, you know, obviously help us all bridge through this pandemic and the after effects of it.
We're talking about city budgets for 2021 and beyond with Kurt Witinski. He manages the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. What does your local city or village budget look like for the new year? What do you agree or disagree with on what spending should be prioritized? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Kurt, where do property taxes for revenue fit into this budget picture? What has that income looked like?
Well, one thing about property taxes, nobody likes to pay them, right? They always come in December. You get your bill in December, and you got to pay their big chunk or spread it out over, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 payments over the next 9 months. But the beauty of property taxes is that it's a stable revenue source for cities and villages. So, you know, property taxes are paid on the basis of the value of your home or your business, and the tax rate is applied to that value, and you get your tax bill, and people pay those. That is in contrast to, in many places around the country, many cities rely on sales tax revenue, which is why you cited at the beginning of the half hour here the National League of Cities study saying how 2/3 of cities across the country have been, you know, affected negatively by the pandemic and with respect to their finances. Many of those are relying on sales taxes, which obviously took a hit during the pandemic. Less people were shopping, going out to restaurants, things like that, and sales taxes took a nosedive, especially through the summer. That didn't happen for cities and villages in Wisconsin. So the property tax is more stable and more dependable source of revenue. Now, it is true that since the pandemic started in March through October, maybe there were some delays in paying property taxes by some property owners, a higher number of delinquencies or delays in paying. I haven't really seen those statistics yet pan out, if that's been the case.
Yeah,
the numbers are really high or not, but you know, that is one risk, that, you know, people just aren't able to pay their property taxes. But we haven't seen that yet. The timing of the pandemic in March, by March most people had paid their the bill they received in 2019 for their by the end of January, I think 70% of people pay their property taxes by March when the pandemic started. So anyway, it's just a long answer to say that property taxes are a stable, dependable source of revenue. That's our main source of revenue for Wisconsin cities and villages.
Another thing that came up from the National League of Cities was just the sheer number of cities that have had to turn to layoffs, furloughs, hiring freezes. What have you seen around Wisconsin?
Right. So we conduct Zoom. Well, basically, it's turned into a video or a Zoom call for pretty much monthly with our finance directors from around the state for communities over 10,000 population. And most said in 2020 that they did not have to resort to layoffs or furloughs. And so I would say that it was an exception. So you saw City of Madison, maybe City of Milwaukee, and very few after that found it necessary because of financial impact of the pandemic to engage in furloughs or layoffs or anything like that. And looking to 2021 as they prepared their, you know, upcoming year's budget, most said that they were able to tap into reserves, rely on the CARES Act to cover additional expenses that were unanticipated, and basically work their way through without having to, you know, prepare a 2021 budget that that worked out without having to engage
cut
in
staff.
Furloughs or,
yeah.
or layoffs. Yeah.
When you look at Milwaukee, though, and the city's police department downsizing there by 120 officers, what do you see for the large city like Milwaukee, the largest city in Wisconsin?
Right. So I think that what Milwaukee's contending with are some more long-term structural issues that have been around a while that may have been exacerbated a little slightly more by the pandemic, but the city has been trying to deal with some of these legacy costs like health insurance for retirees that they've promised over time, and their pension funding and the money they need to from their general fund that needs to go in to support their pension for their employees. They're not a part of the Wisconsin retirement system. So there's a lot of a range of issues there that they're struggling with, the bigger city struggling with. And there's no doubt that a lack of increase in state aid over the last, you know, decade to a dozen years has played into that.
Yeah.
So the city is not receiving any increases and more like decreases from state aid, which is a large component of their budget.
Well, let's pause there with Kurt Witinski, who is with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, as we look at budget planning for 2021 and beyond. We will be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about local government budgets with Kurt Witinski. He's Deputy Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. The economic fallout from the pandemic has put enormous financial pressure on local governments, and there's a cloud of uncertainty over whether a new round of federal stimulus will make it to states and therefore trickle down to local government, cities, and towns. You can join in 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Steve now in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve. What are your thoughts on local government budgets?
Yeah, you know, I think the guest probably answered the question a little bit, but I know it's very frustrating that I have two kids who go to school and they're getting a completely substandard education, and no one has done anything to decrease costs in the school by cutting labor costs. And then I hear about a financial pressure on local cities and municipalities, and I'm hearing that there's basically nothing done in relation to cutting salaries there, either through layoffs or salary cuts. The private sector has been decimated. You know, it's very frustrating to hear that nothing is being done, but yet they want to keep coming after us for more and more money. It's just frustrating.
So Steve's saying the private sector is taking the brunt of this and the public sector is not. Kurt?
Well, so Steve was talking about school districts. I assume teachers are still teaching, whether it's, you know, online or not. I mean, they still have the same amount of staff that they've had before, so they still have the same costs. You have to pay the staff and pay their benefits. Public sector continues to perform the jobs that the public wants. People want their police and fire. They want their roads to work. So, yeah, we need people to do that, and we need to pay people to do that. So I think the taxpayer is getting a good deal, actually. I mean, when you look at all the costs that are attributed to the public services, critical public services, we're trying to be as efficient as we possibly can while continuing to provide what people want and need.
Is there a balancing point for how much debt a local government can carry, you know, even though they need a balanced budget, but how much like bond debt or pension debt that they can carry on their books?
Right. Yeah, well, there's a constitutional limit on how much debt a community can take on.
Okay.
And it's it's maximum 5% of their equalized value. And most communities stay well below that, and they keep an eye on it. And you're right, they don't want there's thresholds below which they want to keep their debt service payments, how much they're paying off with debt out of their general fund. And that has been creeping up over the course of the last, 10 to 12 years where we've been under levy limits. So the state imposes limits on how much a community can raise its property tax, increase its property tax levy. The total amount of property taxes they collect each year are limited by how much that can increase from one year to the next by state law. As a result, some communities over time being able to increase their property taxes, even at the rate of inflation, turn to borrowing because the amount of property taxes we collect to pay debt is exempt from those levy limits.
Okay.
So there's this, I don't know, there's this bizarre effect of levy limits to induce more borrowing by cities and villages because the taxes you collect to pay debt off are exempt from those.
We're talking with Kurt Witinski, who is the head of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. We're looking at how local governments around Wisconsin are shaping their budgets for next year and beyond amid the pandemic. Taking your questions, your thoughts, and what your city and town is facing, your village is facing at 800-642-1234. Kurt, one of the questions that you ask as a starting point for a budget is that environmental scan. What is going on around us for looking at how to start a budget? What are those conversations like, that environmental scan, as you reach out and talk with cities and villages?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the first question communities ask themselves when they're preparing their budgets, and this process starts, by the way, for many communities in the summertime, and then for, your smaller communities, probably in August and September. And the conversation is, well, what do we need to continue to do in the coming year that we're doing now, and how much will that cost? Will it, will the cost of that rise? And if so, kind of estimate how much. And when you figure out what's the cost to continue the basic services we're doing right now. Libraries are open this amount of time, police, fire, streets need to be plowed. So all that stuff, we figure out this is the cost of doing that right now. Is there anything else we can anticipate that we'll need to do on top of that? Nobody anticipated this pandemic when they prepared their budget in 2019 for 2020. So that caught everyone by surprise. So I'm sure there's some, there's also reserves that communities keep. So they set aside some dollars, try to every year, and say, okay, if something comes up like this pandemic, we can turn to that for paying the extra expenses we hadn't anticipated. So that's kind of at its most basic level, the discussion that occurs.
Have communities been dipping into their reserves, if they have them at all?
Yes. I think that's one factor for why communities were able to put together their 2021 budgets this fall and now this winter, without too much of a effect on staff size and stuff like that. They were able to dip into their reserves, which, according to some studies by the Wisconsin Policy Forum, that community reserves prior to maybe the last year had been increasing at a fairly, small but steady rate over the last 5 to 6 years. So communities found themselves with some reserves that they could use for exactly this type of situation where an unanticipated event reduced their income, their revenue, and cause some additional expenditures, so they're able to dip into their reserves. And so, yeah, I would say a fair amount of communities did use their reserves and had reserves to use.
I want to look quickly here at the city of Bayfield, our state's smallest city, population about 500. Next year's budget has been cut by 10%, is about $1.8 million. What financial challenges has the city been facing?
Yes, so Bayfield is a city that relies a lot on tourism, and their summer population and the that they have to serve with all the city services is much higher than it is for the rest of the year, and is much higher than the base of property taxes payers that actually live there. So they have this fairly unique situation where they have to deliver services like a much larger city, but have a property tax base of a city of, what is their population? Something like 590 or something like that.
A fraction of the size. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the dilemma they face. And they are unable to tap into something like a sales tax. They may have the tourism special tax that is available for tourism communities. I'm not sure if they do or not. But they don't have just a broad sales tax like, Dane County or some of the, most of the counties in the state of Wisconsin have a 1% or 0.5% sales tax. That's not a source of revenue that's available to Bayfield. So part of the problem they face is what many communities around the state face, but only at a higher degree. They're limited sources of revenue. And then when the property tax really can't provide the amount of revenue necessary and state aid doesn't rise to the level necessary, then they're really left with the difficult situation that Bayfield's finding itself in, unable to pay for the staff and services that are necessary for most of the summer.
Kurt, thank you for joining us.
Yes, my pleasure, Kate. Anytime.
Kurt Witinski, Deputy Executive Director for the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Just ahead, President Trump has left his mark on the Republican Party, but where does the GOP go from here? We talk with longtime conservative pundit Charlie Sykes is on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.